Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports, your number one Philadelphia Eagles show, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Johnny Mack, how you doing on this Wednesday morning, brother?
Doing well. Russell Wilson finally in the NFC East.
Yeah, baby.
Many years the Eagles would have wished that happened in Philadelphia, but
I wonder if the Giants had any spite on their mind when they signed. And they've heard all for the last 10 years how bad the Eagles wanted them, and they said, "Let's get them. Let's get them."
Well, yeah, it's not the same now. You know, they're happy they got them now, but yeah, interesting player because this organization really, really wanted him. And twice, by the way.
Yep.
And yeah, I you know, and it would have worked out probably early on. I think there's little doubt that he would have been a success here. But at this stage of his career, not the same player, obviously. But still an upgrade for the Giants, if you look at it that way.
Yeah, well, no doubt about it. The NFC East did get a little better. I don't know how much better, but, I mean, they signed Winston and Wilson. John asked you pre-show, what do you think it means for them? They're picking at, you know, third overall in the draft. We talked about Shedeur Sanders potentially to them yesterday. Do you think this means the quarterbacks will fall another spot in the draft or what?
No, well, I mean, yeah, it's all dependent really on Cleveland, I think, more than anything else, because if it goes 1-2, you know, obviously they're not falling anywhere, but I think what it does for the Giants, they don't have to feel that necessity to trade up and give away a Trey Lance-like package to move up and try to get a player who shouldn't be there, should pick a player that probably shouldn't be picked there in a normal year. So you don't have that desperation as much, perhaps. But obviously, it's a very short-term fix, if you want to call it a fix. Jameis Winston's not a relevant fix. Tommy DeVito, please. So, I mean, they still have to find the long-term answer, but I do think it takes some of the desperation off the table for the Giants, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit of draft proofing for them, kind of like we've talked about with the Philadelphia Eagles doing. Maybe not as good at it as the Eagles, but they're trying it out there in New York. John, the one thing I wonder about the New York Giants, and this is just a general question, why do they stink so bad? Like, they're a big market team. They have money. They have everything they need, and it just feels like they don't do anything.
Well, they were a great organization for years, when they had smart people making the decisions.
Right.
And they had, you know, Jerry Reese there and Tom Coughlin there. That was the last time they were really good. And dating back before that, they had good decision makers. And then they decided to move on. And they made bad hire after bad hire. The coaches have been an abject disaster that they fired. The GMs have been not good that they fired. And if you got guys making decisions that don't make good decisions, it's really, really difficult. And then when you have this extended period of poor football, then it becomes a sense of urgency to turn it around. So you right. lose patience, and it becomes a self. Like I, you know, I know people are going to laugh at this, and feel free. Like, you know, if Joe Shane could find a quarterback, and he should have done it last year, I think he'd be fine. But he made a mistake last year, but he didn't make the mistake everybody thinks he made, if that makes sense. It's not, it should make sense on this show, but
it makes sense. You're saying people ration for guys like Saquon Barkley and the other stuff, and that's really not what's prevented them from being a good organization.
Because Saquon would have been great, like he was great the 6 years prior, but you saw the success rate.
Right.
They weren't ready for a running back like that. A running back like that, and I think I heard Daniel Jeremiah talk about this when he's talking about first round picks. Like, if you're ready to win, take a running back by all means. You know, those guys get the ball, they're playmakers. You know, somebody like Genty this year, by all means. If you're a crappy team and you're taking Genty, yeah, it's going to excite your fan base because he's a playmaker and he's probably going to be a good player, but he's not going to help you win games if you don't have a quarterback and you don't have an offensive line, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think people look at it the wrong way, but right now they don't have patience, and he doesn't. Now he wasted a year where he could have gotten a quarterback, a legitimate prospect. Some of these draft boards and draft sites are everything, but you know, some of the more popular ones have Ward at 21 and Sanders at 46, Ward at 15 and Sanders in the 30s.
Right. They're getting gassed.
These are not Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May. They're not. From the perspective, that doesn't mean, I mean, Brock Purdy's a seventh round pick. He's a very competent NFL starter.
Right. You're not saying they can't be good. You're saying from a sheer upside and use of assets in the top five.
Exactly.
Picks, these guys are not.
Exactly. So they could have, and they couldn't have gotten, but they could have gotten Penix. They could have gotten McCarthy. They could have gotten Nix. And maybe they didn't like those players. But if they didn't like those players, and you're trying to sell me that they like, and I'll throw Ward out of the equation, because he's going to go number one, and you're telling me they like Shador Sanders, or even if you want to go down to Jackson Dart, because there's a lot of people that have Pittsburgh taking him in the first round, or the Giants trading down and taking him, or for the Jalen Milroe people, you know, because he's got tremendous athleticism.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
And upside from that standpoint, and you're gonna tell me they like those guys better than Penix and McCarthy and Nix? Well, then I'll start ripping them. But they made the mistake last year, and it's because I always say the hardest thing for an NFL team is to be honest with themselves.
Right.
And I had that they made the playoffs, and they upset Minnesota with Daniel Jones probably had his best game. That was not the Flores Minnesota team. That was the Ed Donatell Minnesota team that literally had one of the worst defenses ever. And they beat them. And they deserve credit for that. But they came to Philadelphia the next week and got absolutely waxed. And at that point, they should have said, you know what? What we saw last week wasn't real. We played a really bad defense. We had a really good day. And they weren't honest with themselves with Daniel Jones. And that was the big mistake.
Paying that dude. We'll see what ends up happening here with the New York Football Giants. John, what do you think of the NFC East right now? So me and Cilio did an exercise on his show. He always makes 10 bold predictions for the season. And then I followed up. I made my own. All right. But I'm not going to make you do that. But one of the things I did on my bold predictions was I put the Dallas Cowboys will beat out the Commanders for second in the NFC East this year. One of my other bold predictions is that the Eagles will be the first team to repeat the NFC East since 2004. But I put the Cowboys jumping the Commanders. Now, have the Giants entered the mix at all, in your opinion, with Russell Wilson?
No.
They can't win seven games, eight games, nine games, you don't think?
Well, they could win seven, eight, be in that range. But no, I mean, the NFC East is going to be improved because, depending. I mean, again, we're talking about March, like, whatever. I don't have my phone.
Yeah, March 26th.
March 26th. I mean, plenty of time to go. Eagles are going to add some pieces. But right now, the Eagles have clearly scaled back. From a talent standpoint, plenty of time to go. Howie's been preaching patience this entire time. They're going to make some moves. They're going to do some things. It's going to look a lot better when they get to training camp, and it'll probably look a lot better when they get to week one. If they decide in training camp that we're not good enough at this position, he might go out and do some things even late in training camp, yada, yada. So they're going to look better. But right now, unless you're the blindest Eagles fan imaginable, they've taken a step back from a talent standpoint. Washington, you know, you're always a little bit worried about teams are going to adjust to what Jaden Daniels was successful at. Is he going to be able to adjust back? I would say it's very unlikely he has the same type of year he does as a rookie. Simply because his rookie season was so spectacular, it's going to be tough to keep up that kind of production. They've signed a lot of veteran players, which, you know, that's a high floor if they're healthy. But you have to worry about health. You have to worry about all that stuff. But I think they're a good team. And I think the perception is they've gotten a little bit better. Probably the perception is they've gotten a lot better. I'm a little bit lesser excited about their free agency than some people because people get, in my opinion, people get caught up in big names and Deebo Samuel being the notable example. I don't think that's much of an improvement. Other people will say, what a vast improvement, because they know the name, they know the player he was 3 years ago. But I do think it's fair to say they're a little bit better. The one team you can say, simply because they're getting their quarterback back, that is going to be significantly better is Dallas.
Right. It's where my prediction came from.
Now, they also aren't nearly as talented and gifted on the roster. They've had attrition over the past couple of years than they had been, say, 3 years ago. But are they going to be better than last year? Yes. Are they going to be a significant contender? I don't think so. And then the Giants are going to stink, whether it's Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, or Shedeur Sanders. They're going to stink up the joint.
They're going to stink. How far off do you think I am by putting the Cowboys above the Commanders? You think that's a crazy one, or are you?
I think a lot of things would have to go wrong for Washington for that to happen. I think Washington's a very talented team. The only question is, again, you're going to see some regression from Jaden Daniels, but
this is basically, I mean, you're going to talk about what Dallas won what, seven games last year without Dak. So I'm thinking, is Dak add three wins? I could see that with that team. Now I know the roster is not great, but I could see them getting to 10 wins. Commanders had what, 12 wins last year. If Jaden regresses a little bit, I could see them losing out the race for number two in the NFC East to the Cowboys.
Yeah, right now, I mean, because of the history of the NFC East, I would put Washington 1, Philadelphia 2, Dallas 3, Giants 4.
Yeah, I'm going Eagles 1.
I mean, people don't repeat in this division. Till I see it, then I'll believe it.
20 years, 2004 was the last repeat winner, and that was the Philadelphia Eagles in 04 after winning in 03 as well.
Man, they got to get the work. They got to hit on draft picks. They gotta replace a lot of good players.
Yeah.
A lot of good players.
Now they do, but here's an interesting thing that happened on the shows this week. So Big Sills, Dan Cilio, in the National Football Show 2-6 had on Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy Johnson obviously has, you know, the creator of the value chart in the draft, obviously built the Cowboys.
People
of the
90s. Shouldn't use that to hold Jimmy's respect. They should use the Spielberger Fitzgerald's stat.
Yeah, well, Jimmy's since updated it a lot, and he still does a lot of work with teams, actually. But anyway, he ran through the Eagles drafts with us on the show. Cilio got him to, you know, look at the Eagles last four drafts, and he knew, but he was obviously this not an Eagles focused, you know, guy. And he was pretty blown away. I mean, he gave Howie tremendous grades on most of his draft picks since 2021. And he gave him overall a B+ in the last 4 years. And just so you know, people who say, oh, it should be an A. Jalen Carter was an A. He has one A+ in the history of the NFL, and it's Patrick Mahomes. All right. So he doesn't give A's easily. B+ overall. And he said, with 20 draft picks in the next 2 years, I don't think the Eagles have made one bad decision. I would have moved on from those expensive contracts too and got younger, because what you've done, you've shown that you're successful in drafting. Now you have to continue to draft successfully, but so far he doesn't think they've made any bad decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I've said the same thing. You know, I get why they moved on, but the hard part is replacing them. Like I don't have any problem. Like, I'm not paying Milton Williams $26 million. Yeah. I'm not paying Josh Webb what he got. I'm not disputing that part of what Jimmy said. The assumption that you're going to continue to draft at the level of success the Eagles have over the past three seasons is a bit lofty. Now, I know people are saying, well, they did it. Well, yeah, they did it, but again, it's an odds game. I'd like to play the odds game.
Yeah, I know, but they had the sample size that they have of success is getting big enough to say, have they figured something out to significantly tilt the odds?
Trap Georgia guys, but
go SEC
or SEC guys at the whole. But yeah, and even, you know, they're coming off a Super Bowl, so I mean everything we. It's the biggest cliche in the world for a reason, but it is a cliche. And, you know, winning cures everything and winning solves everything. Winning obfuscates all the negative. And it does. You know, you don't have to go too far to look at the Jalen Ragers of the world, to look at the Andre Dillards of the world, to look at the J.J. Arcega-Whitesides of the world. You know, it's, you know, even if you want to look at how quickly, you know, the turnaround for Nolan Smith, people were complaining about that pick. Tyler Steen, you know, people will start to complain about that pick if he can't seal the deal. There's two third-round picks from 2023 that they're projecting to be starters as we talk on March 26th. I don't get the sense anybody believes in Sidney Brown, and I don't get the sense many believe in Tyler Steen, other than it's more of a belief in Jeff Stoutland. And then you have Kaylee Ringo in the fourth round, who's projected to be a starter. So this year's going to tell you a lot about that draft. But at the top of it, obviously Jalen Carter, and, you know, the NFL got together and gifted. The NFL's bad teams got together and gifted the Eagles
Jalen Carter.
You know, I agree with Jimmy. It's an A pick, but it's not an A for the personnel department. That's an A from common sense department and having the courage to, as I always say, realize, well, he's not Robin Banks. He made a big mistake, but he's not a consistently bad kid getting in trouble day after day after day. And the Chicago Bears are like, we can't take this kid on. And the Eagles are like, all right, bring it on.
Right.
You know, to me, that's an A in common sense. It should have been the first pick in the draft from a talent standpoint. So, I think there's, as always, a lot of context. A lot of context in this type of stuff.
They've been successful, though. I mean, I will say that. The level of success, and when we talk about odds, is above what the odds would say they would be, even for a successful drafting team, what they've done in the last 4 years.
Yeah, but and then if you want to go back to N'Kobe Dean, people kind of forget, and I think they were also broken by, and I know we got to get the mic. I apologize. We got to get the mic. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, you know, they hit the ground running right away. Well, Cooper, it took four games, but for the most part, they hit the ground running. Probably Vic should have played him, to be honest, before he did, but he didn't.
Well, he had that injury. Remember, didn't he have that injury?
He had a hamstring, but there was plenty of time. He was back. He should have played him. But from the standpoint of rookies playing as well as they do, that's typically not realistic. And you've even seen that with there are trajectory times where people said before last year, N'Kobe Dean stinks and Nolan Smith stinks. It's just the reality of it. So the assumption that it's going to go, you know, it might work in 2027, but the assumption that it's going to be Quinyon and Cooper next year, that's probably a little bit over the top.
I agree. We'll see what ends up happening. Birds have a lot of work to do in terms of recouping some of the talent that left this offseason. Plenty of draft picks to do it, plenty of spots, plenty of moments. We'll see what the Birds do up with the offseason here in front of us. Obviously, the NFL draft now, 29 days away? 29 days and 12 hours, everybody, until we're watching round one of the NFL draft. We're going to be joined now by Mike Gill from 97.3 ESPN down the shore. Later on in hour number two, we're going to have Brandon Lee Gouten from Bleeding Green Nation. So looking forward to talking to both of our Wednesday guests today.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.